In the latest defeat for Roundup, a jury awards a couple over $2 billion.
We wish that Monsanto had warned us ahead of time and that there was something on the front of their label that said danger may cause cancer.
And Uber's shares continue to plummet.
A lot of high-profile companies have been going public this year, and they don't necessarily all have a solid track record of profitability.
Plus, trade tensions weigh on investors. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, a $2 billion award in a third case over whether the weed killer Roundup causes cancer, here's what you missed. Trade tensions between the U.S. and China show no signs of abating. Late on Monday, the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer filed formal paperwork to impose tariffs on an additional $300 billion worth of Chinese imports. That's nearly double the amount of Chinese goods that are currently subject to tariffs. The move came after China retaliated with additional tariffs of its own on $60 billion worth of U.S. imports. But President Trump said he was optimistic that when he meets with China's President Xi Jinping at the G20 meeting in Japan in June, an agreement could be hashed out.
We're dealing with them. We have a very good relationship. Maybe something will happen. We're going to be meeting, as you know, at the G20 in Japan, and that'll be, I think, probably a very fruitful meeting.
The derailment of a trade deal that many had assumed would be agreed to by this month sent global markets tumbling. U.S. markets had their worst day since the beginning of the year, with industrials and technology sectors being hit particularly hard. Another company whose shares took a beating? The newly public Uber. That's led to questions about whether Uber's shares were mispriced or if it was just bad timing. Our markets reporter, Akani Otani, has more.
We've heard already from the Uber CEO, who commented as early as Friday morning when the stock debuted on the public markets that it was sort of an unfortunate time for Uber to make its debut and that market conditions were tough. So clearly he was attributing some of Uber's disappointing debut to the fact that broader markets were coming under pressure due to the trade tensions that we were seeing flaring up. But that being said, Uber did fall far more than the broader market Monday, and we have started to see some signs of hesitation among analysts who've been noting that a lot of high-profile companies have been going public this year, and they don't necessarily all have a solid track record of profitability, if any. So certainly that'll be one of the things to watch over the next couple of days and coming weeks, is if Uber is able to break the trend or if it continues to underperform the broader market, which would certainly suggest that it's more of a company-specific issue.
And NASA is asking for more money, $1.6 billion, to return to the moon. Here's Administrator Jim Bridenstine in a video to employees.
Exploring the moon is the next step in our agency's story, and it will be to the benefit of all of us. We are at a moment of opportunity, together. Thank you for your dedication to our mission and pressing in on the hard work that is moving us forward to the moon and on to Mars. We are going.
The package backs up an earlier White House pledge to return astronauts to the lunar surface by 2024. That's the same year that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos said he plans to send commercial craft to the moon with his Blue Origin space company. Now, our main story this morning. A jury has awarded $2.055 billion to a California couple who blamed Bayer's Roundup weed killer for causing their cancer. Roundup contains an ingredient, glyphosate, that some have said is a carcinogen. This is the biggest such verdict to date and the third straight loss for Bayer. Charlie Turner has been speaking to our reporter Sarah Randazzo about the verdict.
Sarah, $2.055 billion is an enormous verdict. Tell us about the couple the jury awarded the amount to.
Yes, $2.055 billion is quite an enormous verdict and the largest of the three that have been reached in cases over the safety of Roundup so far. The couple in this case are a couple in their 70s, Alva and Alberta Pilliod. They're in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they've used Roundup on their property for 35 years. And they say that that extended Roundup use gave them both non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And this is the third award against Bayer?
Yes, this is the third award since August in trials over Roundup safety. The first, back in August, sent the stock reeling. And then there were two verdicts both this month, also all in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Also, Bayer is facing a shareholder revolt connected to this since the company purchased Monsanto last year. Monsanto makes the Roundup weed killer herbicide at the center of the suits.
Shareholders have not responded favorably to these verdicts. They've lambasted the company, and last month they had a vote of no confidence in the management's actions from the last year, which was the latest signal that they're not happy with this Monsanto deal.
The cases have really clobbered Bayer stock, haven't they?
Yes, since the first jury verdict in August, the stock has fallen some 30%, and we'll see what happens this week after this third verdict.
And how many total claims are there that tie Roundup to cancer?
There are currently around 13,400 claims tying Roundup to cancer, which is a pretty extraordinary number even in these mass torts cases. This one has accelerated quite quickly since the first jury verdict came out.
Now, will this jury award stand, or is the judge likely to cut the amount as happened in the first two verdicts?
So the biggest part of this award is $2 billion in punitive damages, and those are damages that are awarded essentially to send a message to the defendant to try to correct their behavior. And then the rest of it is $55 million in compensatory damages, which are awarded for things like past economic loss and future economic loss to the couple. And so oftentimes juries will award these massive amounts of punitive damages, and on appeal or even from the same judge that oversaw the trial, they often get cut down. For example, in the first case that went to trial, there was a pretty large punitive damage award that the judge cut by more than $200 million, even before it went up on appeal to the next level of court. So often these punitive damages, are easy to dole out by the jury, but they get ratcheted back.
But Sarah, what's the big question going forward facing these lawsuits?
The big question now is whether and when these cases will ever reach a settlement. The company seems to be saying it's still too early. They say this litigation will take a long time, and none of these appeals from the earlier trials have gone through yet. And others have also said that the company should probably wait and is likely to wait until appeals have been processed before they even think about settlement. But as the investor pressure ratchets up, it seems like the company has to either change its trial strategy or do something to move this toward resolution so it doesn't hang over them for years to come.
Shares in Bayer were nearly 3% lower this morning in early trading in Europe. Since the first verdict was announced in August, shares in the firm have plunged by more than a third. For more coverage, you can head to our website at WSJ.com. On to markets. Asia followed U.S. markets lower this morning, with both Chinese indices and the Nikkei down by over 0.5%. That's putting fresh pressure on companies with significant exposure to trade tariffs. Another victim? The Chinese yuan. From Hong Kong, our markets reporter Soumya Vashampayan has more.
The yuan has lost more than 2% against the dollar in the past seven trading days. And this has come as the U.S. threatened and then imposed tariffs on Chinese goods. You know, that might actually not sound like a lot, but it really is when you're talking about this currency. So here's what's happening. On one hand, a weaker currency makes sense because it makes Chinese goods cheaper for U.S. buyers, and that helps to offset the pain from higher tariffs. But on the other hand, if the yuan weakens too much or too quickly, it could cause China a major headache. Big yuan drops in the past have spurred panic in China's domestic market, spurring major capital outflows that further drag on the yuan. This is exactly what happened in 2015 and again in 2016. Beijing is also in a tricky spot in terms of politics. Like it or not, the yuan has become a key part of the U.S. trade talks, and China's top central banker has vowed that the country won't engage in competitive devaluation. Too much yuan weakness could inflame tensions between the two countries even more.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today.
As a Democrat governor of a state that Trump won by 20 points, I don't have the luxury of just talking to people who agree with me.
That's a snippet from a video officially announcing Montana Governor Steve Bullock's run for presidency in 2020. Mr. Bullock is the only Democratic hopeful elected to statewide office in a state that President Trump carried in 2016. That's something he hopes will allow him to stand out in a crowded field. So far, 22 Democrats have announced their plans to challenge President Trump for the White House in 2020.
Plus, San Francisco is set to vote on a measure that would see it become the first U.S. city to ban the use of facial recognition by local agencies. Dozens of police departments nationwide have already started to apply facial recognition to databases of mugshots and driver's license photos to identify suspects as part of routine investigations. The proposed ban is included in a surveillance ordinance that's up for a vote today. It adds to a broad push to regulate a technology that some critics argue can perpetuate bias as well as give authorities excessive surveillance powers. Finally, yesterday, we asked you if you would fly on a Boeing 737 MAX if and when the plane is cleared by regulators. Many of you said yes, that you trusted the Federal Aviation Administration to conduct due diligence regarding the anti-stall system that's been at the heart of the issue. One listener, Chris, added that the investigation had to be independent. So thanks for writing in. Today, we want to know, what do you think of San Francisco's proposed surveillance ban? Tweet us at WSJ Podcast or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.